Your Honor, I'd like to change my rebuttal time to 2 minutes. Good morning, Your Honor, and may it please the Court. My name is Nanga Taba on behalf of Mr. Scott Halliday, the appellant. The District Court plainly erred in entering separate convictions and sentences for receipt and possession of child pornography based on a single course of conduct in violation of the Fifth Amendment Double Jeopardy Clause. We ask that this Court reverse the District Court and remand with instructions.
I don't understand, Counsel, what the Constitution has to do with this. This appears to be a unit of prosecution question. The Supreme Court has said that if Congress has authorized separate penalties, there can never be a double jeopardy problem if there's only one trial. So the question is, has Congress authorized separate penalties? If yes, no double jeopardy problem. If no, the sentence violates the statute, and we don't get to the Constitution. We never start with the Constitution. So don't we need to just decide whether Congress has authorized separate penalties?
Your Honor, when there is a single course of conduct or a single act, when that act violates more than one provision, when it violates two distinctive statutory provisions, the Court needs to decide whether there's two offenses or one offense, and that is another way of violating the double jeopardy clause, Your Honor.
I don't think you want to argue with me on this. What you've just said contradicts the holding of United States against Albernaz. I'm not trying to undermine your argument. It's just a statutory argument rather than a constitutional argument. We're not going to contradict Albernaz. I'm very confident of that.
Right.
Let me ask you a somewhat different question on the assumption that we're talking about units of prosecution. Let's suppose you're right and that this allegation about the download on April the 20th, the download of May 27th, the use of the on or about really sweeps in everything. I guess my issue has been whether any error that might have existed was harmless, because if this point had been brought to the attention of the district court, the prosecution could simply have said, well, we're separately arguing about the April 21st through May 26th downloads. There are different acts in here, and it may be that the indictment was sloppy and left open the possibility of duplication, but it could have been fixed pretty easily, couldn't it?
Actually, there is harm here, Your Honor, and for two reasons. First, the multiple convictions actually had an impact on the length of Mr. Halliday's sentence. And second, these multiple convictions, any second concurrent conviction still is punishment and would violate the double jeopardy clause, Your Honor.
Well, I understand that there are multiple convictions, but I'm suggesting that if the the receipt counts, had the two counts of receipt had focused on the material he received on April 20th and the material he received on May 27th, and the possession counts had focused only on his possession of things that he received at different times, in other words, different conduct, all of the cases that you've relied on have said we don't have these duplication problems. If it's different, if it's video numbers 1, 2, and 3 on April 20th, and if it's videos 4, 5, and 6 in between for the possession counts, and if it's video 10 for, see what I'm saying?
Right.
And there is no duplication problem if you're relying on different days and different materials, even in the gun cases or drug, or in any of the other cases.
If the indictment charged distinctive dates and thus based the receipt and possession charges on separate conduct, on separate dates and separate images, then we would not be here. But we're here because the indictment did not do that.
Right. I understand up to that point. But then my next question was, since it would have been very easy to have amended, or partitioned this case to make it clear that there was separate underlying conduct, why isn't any error that was there harmless? Even if I agree with you that as worded there was a problem, why isn't it actually harmless? This isn't like there was just one video that was made the basis of both the receipt and the possession charge. There you'd have your case in its purest form.
It wouldn't be harmless, Your Honor, also because the Supreme Court noted that the double jeopardy clause is not such a fragile guarantee that prosecutors can avoid its limitations by simply parsing out or dividing a single crime into a series of temporary or special units. And in that case, the court held that although the prosecution had parsed out the defendant in that case was convicted and sentenced for auto theft and joyriding over a period of 9 days, but the prosecution had parsed out this crime and convicted him, and he was subsequently convicted and sentenced separately for the auto theft and the joyriding.
But in that case, it was the same car?
It was the same car.
Here there are different tapes in that period between the beginning and the end is what's charged in the indictment. They're different tapes, so it's not like the same tape. I think that was what Judge Wood's point was. And so since there was sufficient evidence that he had those intervening days, then what's the harm?
Correct.
I think that's what she's trying to get to.
The harm really is what in double jeopardy cases, what the court looks at in deciding whether there's one offense or two offenses really is the indictment. And the defendant shouldn't, Mr. Halliday shouldn't suffer because the indictment was phrased in a sloppy manner, or especially because the evidence also just confirmed what was the face of the indictment. And if we look at count two of the indictment, he was charged of receiving child pornography on or before May 27th, which covers in between April 20th and May 27th. And because of that, that's a single course of conduct which spanned that entire period of time, which would be analogous to the one car in that case in Brown v. Ohio. And the other reason why we should win on this appeal is because the multiple convictions, as I earlier mentioned, the multiple convictions and sentences in fact had an impact on Mr. Halliday's sentence. The sentencing court clearly thought that it could tack the possession sentence onto the receipt sentence and impose...
I thought the sentences were concurrent.
They were.
There was, of course, the $100 special assessment, which is why we can't invoke the concurrent sentence doctrine, but the sentences weren't run consecutively.
And as I mentioned,
what's the problem then?
The second concurrent sentence still is punishment, and it...
I thought your point about that was just that the judge thought that the outer boundaries were potentially at the consecutive level. He didn't choose to go out that far. He left them concurrent, but that his discretion may have been influenced by the thought that he could, if he wanted to, go all the way out to 30 years.
The point being that the judge incorrectly thought he was exercising substantial discretion or leniency by imposing a sentence of 240 months, which in fact was not the case in light of the double jeopardy here. So if this court were to reverse and vacate the convictions and only one of either the receipt or the possession conviction was upheld, then we will be looking at a different maximum, statutory maximum, which would eliminate the basis for the court's the entry of the sentence.
And what would that statutory maximum be then under your rash, under that scenario?
I see that my time is up.
You can answer that.
It would be under the receipt. If the receipt conviction were vacated, it would be a 10-year maximum for possession. Conversely, if the possession was vacated, it would be a 20-year maximum for receipt.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Hartzell. We need to give you a remote control.
Could you work that out for me? You're the chief judge, right? I think there were a couple of ways that it could have been handled in district court. I agree that it is harmless by the fact that it was not objected to and it was not handled. But
you know, if this had just been one video, I think there is some there are some serious points that Mr. Yep. Halliday is making, because it is very much like some of these other areas of the law, and it's impossible to receive something without at least briefly possessing it. I think there's a strong lesser-included offense argument here. Now, you may be bailed out by the fact that there are a number of different videos, but that's not always the case in these prosecutions.
I completely accept that point. I don't think you'll ever see a case like that. I don't think there's a policy in the Department of Justice.
We did see it in Myers, didn't we? I completely understand why other circuits have been unpersuaded.
I think that I should have said you will not in the future
see
a case like that.
Good.
I think that the Department of Justice is strongly recommending that we not charge a single image, both as receipt and possession. The indictment here did not make it clear, and there were possibilities of either by special verdict form or by instructing the jurors that they had to consider different images. That would have been a way to avoid this problem in this case.
Yeah.
But I do not.
A good instruction would be something like, whatever images you considered in convicting the guy of count one, disregard in considering count two.
Right, right.
Something like that.
Right. And well, Judge Wood, in answer to your question, I
gather no such request was made for an instruction of that kind.
No. I think that, well, from reviewing the record, my sense is that everybody understood that there were different images for the middle period. I mean,
I'm not sure they did, though, given Myers. I mean, I think that would be unfortunate. There's just a vagueness about this record that's troublesome.
And it does have some implications in terms of sentencing, especially when you look at the context of the sentencing judge's remarks.
It has implications if they are the same images. I think that the point that Judge Wood was making, and I'm trying to echo, is that I believe the parties understood that what was being charged was the initial receipt, the final receipt, and then the possession was of the different videos in between, the whatever it is, 11 videos were in between. And there's no problem with that. He has different possessions, different conduct. The two cases two Ninth Circuit cases that are cited in the reply brief, both involve prosecution, receipt, and possession of the same image. I mean, they say in one of those cases, in that Shales case, where the government argued to the jury that it can convict Shales on all three counts by relying solely on one image. That's not the issue here, and that's, I think, the point that you're making, and what I'm trying to suggest is I hope that case never presents itself to us.
The Supreme Court decided now, almost 50 years ago, that a person who robs a bank can't also be convicted of possessing the proceeds of his own robbery. That issue seems to come back to the Supreme Court about every 5 years. New prosecutors find new ways to charge the bank robber with possessing the proceeds, and it reached here just last year.
With the proceeds of a bank robbery?
Yes. It was a slightly different variation of it. But that problem, the Heflin problem, doesn't seem to have gone away. I very much wish that it would go away for possessing pornography, but it hasn't gone away for bank robbery, so I'm not sanguine.
Well, I apologize. I'm not speaking to you about bank robbery. I wasn't aware that the government...
The point is the pattern that Judge Easterbrook is talking about, whether it's bank robberies or whether it's child pornography or whether it's guns or whatever. It's unfortunate that this doesn't stick.
If this case presented the opportunity for this court to make it abundantly clear that possession and receipt of the same image is, or the possession of the same image is a lesser included of the receipt, then I think the problem might disappear. But I don't think this case presents that issue.
Is the Department of Justice confessing error on Myers? What is the Solicitor General's view about this conflict among the circuits?
I don't know what the Solicitor General's view is. I do know that we are not charging cases, or we are recommended not to charge possession and receipt of the same image so that we avoid the Lynn and Shales situation. And that's why I'm suggesting hereafter I think you will not see that. Do I know what the Solicitor General's position on Myers is? I do not. Am I trying to avoid that issue and hoping that this court does not address it in this case? Yes, because I don't think there's any necessity to address it in this situation. And as I've said, I don't think it will be presented because I don't think we'll charge the same image as receipt and possession. Of course, you saw that we charged the same image as receipt and distribution, or in possession and distribution, but that's a completely different situation where the distribution, especially now when we have digital images, the possession continues after the distribution. It's not like a magazine. That's a false case that this court decided not long ago. But it is a different situation with receipt and possession of the same image. And I'm suggesting that, this case does not present that problem. There are no further questions? I thank you again.
Thank you, Mr. Hartzler. Anything further, Ms. Cutler?
Yes, sir.
Your Honors, the record is not clear enough to determine that this case is not like one which we shouldn't charge and convict and sentence a defendant based on a single item of contraband because of the manner in which the indictment was charged, the ways that the prosecution used the dates and the parallel in the dates between the receipt and the possession count. And to the point of that in this case there were separate and distinctive offenses because there were multiple downloads. This is a program, the LimeWire program, was allowed the defendant to download using the same, Mr. Halliday was allegedly charged of downloading using the same program and the same computer. So the same medium was used in this case.
Why is that significant?
That is significant, Your Honor, because
long ago rejected the same transaction or same conduct version of the Double Jeopardy Clause.
Because, Your Honor, we're looking at the same time span, the same period for
If your client had robbed five banks over the course of 5 days as part of a single course of conduct, how many times could he be convicted of bank robbery? Five. The fact that it was just one course of conduct or one conspiracy wouldn't matter. Why should it matter here that he downloaded 11 files over a period of time?
It would matter because of the indictment, Your Honors, and that's what this court respectfully would request that the court look at the indictment. It's not, the record is not clear here, Your Honors. And also, counsel mentioned that the parties understood that the separate, that April 20th and May 27th applied to the receipt, whereas the dates in between went to possession. However, it's not what the parties understood, but what the jury understood. Thank you, Your Honor.
We appreciate your willingness and that of your law firm to accept the appointment in this case and your assistance to the court as well as your client. The case is taken under advisement, and the court will be in recess until tomorrow.